I'm Adam.
And I'm Mike.
Welcome to The Dad Experience,
a podcast where dads can connect
and openly share stories.
Here's what to expect on this episode of The Dad Experience.
See, people learn differently in this era. They get their information in 30-second bursts, in small, short packages of material. They like that. Twitter, for instance, has 140 characters. That's how people get their information. They get it through social media.
Dad Experience.
Welcome again to another episode of the Dad Experience. Very excited about having Dan Roberts today on the show. Dan is an executive producer and host of the award-winning radio series A Moment in Time, where they talk about different things that have gone on in history in 90 seconds on the radio. He also has a brand new book out, Mastering American History in 1 Minute a Day, that is now available at Amazon.com and many other bookstores. Dan has quite the background. He's been he is a professor at the University of Richmond, and he also contributes as a historical commentator on CNN, CNN Headline News, and Fox News. Dan is also a popular jazz pianist and an avid reader, and just a great dad and grandfather. So welcome, Dan, to the show. We like to start our show off with who lives with you at home, what's the makeup of your household and family. We always like to get that background from our guests.
Well, Adam, actually, I have two homes. I teach at the history at the University of Richmond in Richmond, Virginia, and a few years ago, I bought a home in Fort Lauderdale. I guess I thought I was anticipating retirement, but retirement doesn't appeal to me in the slightest. I can't imagine sitting on the beach somewhere, getting ready to die. So but I've enjoyed going there on weekends in the winter because it gets kind of cool here in Richmond, and so I go down there. And during that passage of time, I met my spouse. We have dated for about eight years by now. And he lives in our home. Mario lives in our home in Fort Lauderdale. And I continue to hold my position here at the university. And so I live here. I have his mother lives with him when I'm not there. And his mother lives with us when I am there. And, mm-hmm. And I have a roommate here. I have a big condominium, and I just enjoy having somebody here in the house. And he keeps an eye on the place when I'm in Florida or traveling for my radio program or academic pursuits or promoting my new book.
Right, right. Well, what about children? I'm sure in the past you had family
yes,
makeup
I do.
With that. So
yes, sir.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about that.
I have I've had three children. They're in their 40s now. I'm an old man. So I was a single father for two of the children. Unfortunately, our marriage came to an end some years ago, and but my children were pretty feisty. And we decided that they needed a daddy, and so I was a single father for two of my children live with me, my oldest, my daughter, and my son. Mm-hmm. And they lived with me, and then I have another daughter. All of them have been married and two of them have children. My son and daughter-in-law have not, they've been trying. And so we support them in that task. And they're looking forward to having kids, I think, very much. Yeah,
that's a tough thing when you witness people going through that. I'm sure my wife and I went through struggling to get pregnant with our first. And I know those ups and downs, and it's great that you're supporting them and being there for them, because that's so important.
We actually lost two of twin boys about a year and a half ago, and it was very sad. And my daughter-in-law who will be the best mother on the planet if she has children. She had problems being able to hold the children, and they were stillborn. But they were two beautiful little boys, and I wish they, one of them was named for me, so I wish he was still alive.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, that's always tough to go through, but it sounds like you've got a close-knit family that's been able to kind of support each other, which is so awesome, so awesome.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so you mentioned a little bit at the top of the show that you have a new book out, Mastering American History in 1 Minute a Day. Can you kind of tell us a little bit about that book, you know, maybe a, kind of a short elevator speech or just a brief synopsis of what it's all about?
See, people learn differently in this era. They get their information in 30-second bursts, in small, short packages of material. They like that. Twitter, for instance, has 140 characters. That's how people get their information. They get it through social media. And I, about 25 years ago, I began to see this developing. I was a teacher at the University of Richmond, and I would mention significant events and personalities from the past, and my students' eyes would glaze over. And so I figured there needed to be a way. We had to break out of the normal academic ghetto and get historical information out to people, and so that they could absorb that information and learn it. So people learn differently, and they respond, I believe, to effective and compelling and even entertaining ways of teaching history. So I can't believe that I've been doing it that for that long, but I started a 2 minute history program. It's called A Moment in Time, and it's on 150 public radio stations around the country. And what I try to do in that 2 minutes is speak of an event or a person or a complex issue and try to make it as understandable as possible. And in effect, I was anticipating a quarter of a century ago the way people learn today, the way they get their information today. One of my colleagues at the university used the word genius, but I resist that designation, but it's good to know that I kind of anticipated it, anticipated this way of learning. And one of the most effective ways of teaching history is to tell a story. People respond to effective stories about real human beings. And so that's what I have become. So I become a storyteller, and I take nonfiction and talk about it as if it was an exciting fictional story. It's completely true, and I try to make it absolutely accurate, but I have become a pretty good storyteller.
That's amazing. And you know, it's interesting that you say that you were already looking at this kind of shift in thinking, because I mean, everywhere you read and everything that educators, at least from my experience, from where I work, because they try and be on top and progressive, we have to change the way we're teaching our kids. We have to change that rows, you know, rows and straight lines and desks isn't the way to necessarily learn anymore. That collaboration, that storytelling, those short bursts. We're so inundated every day when we open up anything, whether it's our computer or whether it's looking at our phone, there's all this short information and how do we retain it? And that is so great. I think you have a business plan there on top of it, but you know how they all, you're in education, you know, you're in higher education. They're always marketing these next best great things. Well, you should definitely start training the teachers on how to be better storytellers, because that could make a world of difference.
That's exactly what I've done. And what this makes me into, Adam, is a public historian. I didn't realize when I was getting started that the same kind of concern people had about the fact that individuals baby boomers and their children were losing touch with the past and losing this important Studying the past, I believe, is an important way of understanding how human beings are going to act in the future. And so I didn't realize that there were other people involved in doing that sort of thing. And so about the time I started my radio program, they started an organization called the National Council on Public History. And people like me, scattered all over the country, and actually over the world, were beginning to have this same concern, and were beginning to give academic definition to doing what I do, which is to take complex topics and make them accessible to a wide audience. People who do not have time to read a lot of heavy literature or heavy books, but they would respond to some short, pithy, compelling, entertaining story narrative. And so that's what has, in addition to doing my academic work, that's what has animated my my passion over the last quarter of a century.
That's amazing. That's great. And I appreciate it. From an educator standpoint, I really appreciate that mind shift and helping us out there, you know, better reach our students and better reach people. Because like you said, I firmly believe, just like you said, that we need to look at our history in order to be more progressive and learn predictive behaviors. Cause that's one of the main reasons why we need to know our history, because we always say history repeats itself, and we don't want to relive some of those things. So it's important for people to know and understand, what's going on in the world. So, you know, this next question is kind of twofold, and I'm assuming that the age range of this book is probably more geared towards adults, but you know, could this book be used or read as maybe a family activity, or is it more just geared towards, you know, old young adults or teenage on up?
I was talking to my web master, the guy who handles my website, which is amomentintime.com. Mm-hmm. If any of your listeners are interested, they can go to the website and subscribe, and they get a daily. They get a transcript of the daily radio program on amomentintime.com. But anyway, he was saying that he and his daughter had gotten a copy of the book, and they were swapping it back and forth. And his daughter is I think she's a ninth grader.
Awesome. Awesome.
So they read, he's reading it through kind of serial, plowing through page after page after page, and she's skipping around. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't make any difference because the way the book is arranged, you can read chapter number 30 and then 31, and they are not unrelated because they are American history. Then they are chronological, so the events that were described in chapter 30 will precede those that are described in chapter 31. So it makes it easy, and there are small little bites that would make it interesting for any age, I guess.
That's awesome. Yeah, I would wonder that if the kids, I mean, obviously, I don't know that my 2-year-old would want to sit through that just yet. Yeah. But I mean, I would imagine even like middle school, if you're reading it and explaining it to your kids, it would be so awesome. And it would be such an easy way. And maybe they would remember what they're learning in school a little bit. Or, you know, like I even tell my kids, if they're taking, for example, a music theory class, that's a little more difficult for students, whether or not they're amazing at it right now, if they're going on into school, into music, and they're going to take that class later, they've been exposed to it, and you have more of a chance to remember it and to kind of, recall all that information. So it makes it easier the second time. Exactly. So what a cool way to do it. And what a great idea for a book and for an activity. And it would be cool for families to just do, rather than maybe getting behind the Netflix for one evening, maybe pull the book out and say, we're going to read, a chapter here together and talk about it. It's a neat thing that I think is great for folks. Well, this is a good place for us to take a short break. Don't forget the Dad Experience is a part of the Parents On Demand Network. You can find our podcast on their app, which you can get from the Google Play Store and the Apple iTunes Store. And stick around at the end of this episode to hear about another great parenting podcast that if you love the Dad Experience, we're sure you're going to like. Stick around after the break. We're going to talk to Dan more about being a dad, being a grandfather, as well as his book and all those great things that go along with it. Hey guys, I'm really excited to tell you about a pair of underwear that I absolutely love. The first thing I'm looking for when I'm buying a brand new pair of underwear is, are they comfortable and do they not ride up? Well, this underwear that I've got from Lambs, they do the trick. So along with that, there's some extra added bonuses. Not only are they very comfortable, but they're antimicrobial, anti-odor, and breathable. They have free returns, and they guarantee their underwear for 30 days. So if you're not happy with it, before 30 days are up, ship it back. And as always, they have free shipping. And one little extra feature that is amazing with this underwear is they are wireless radiation proof. Yes, they have 360 degrees of wireless radiation protection. So those cell phones, those smartwatches, anything that might let off a little bit of radiation, you're protected with these. So you're going to want to try them out. Get your pair. For Dad Experience listeners, right now you can get 15% off your first purchase by using the link in our show notes. So go check them out and get yourself a pair of Lambs. You won't be disappointed. Welcome back to the Dad Experience. We are here with Dan Roberts, author of Mastering American History in 1 Minute a Day. He's got a lot of great things going on. He does short historical things for National Public Radio in different cities all over the U.S. and had a great conversation on the first half that we're really excited to continue on. So, you know, kind of shifting gears to that parenting hat, What is your favorite thing or was your favorite thing about being a parent?
I think probably the favorite thing I have, the favorite thing about being a parent is being there for kids who are going through a tough time. My wife and I went through a divorce. By the way, we're still friends and I see her on occasion. And she actually likes my husband a lot better than she likes me. So I guess that's good in a way. We went through that tough time and it was my pleasure to take at least two of them and all three of them and work them through that difficult transition through that divorce. And that wasn't an easy time for me, and it wasn't an easy time for them, but I was there. I'm a Presbyterian minister, and I came back to Richmond prior to the divorce to get into graduate school and prepare for an academic life. And the most amazing thing was that had I been involved in the pastorate at the time of the divorce, it would have been so much more difficult both for the church and us and my children. And so that the fact that I was able, that I had backed out of that, by the way, I went back into the pastorate. But during this period of time, I was not involved directly in pastoring, and I was able to concentrate on the most important church in which I'm involved in, and that is the church of my family, to be involved with my children and to help them walk through that very, very tough and difficult time without necessarily the pressures of being in public in front of everybody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what a great way to share. I mean, I think it's important for, you know, dads that might be out there that are struggling or moms, whoever's listening that may be going through something like that to know that, you know, look and hold that family close. Sure. And try and make sure that you can work through it as a group and things. And obviously a success story with you and your family, your blended family, that, you know, coming together and working through it, even though it may be a difficult time, has a success story at the end. And it's really nice to hear that. And, you know, hopefully there's somebody out there that's listening that maybe can gain something a little bit more from that and maybe some insight from that or relate a little bit. So, you know, kind of along those lines, you kind of mentioned it a little bit, but maybe you're a seasoned dad, you're a grandfather. what do you think? And I'm super curious because you're somebody that's been there and done it. And I can tell by everything that you've already talked about, what is your best advice for creating maybe a better father-child relationship? What do you think is important in creating that bond and solidifying that bond for life?
My kids were coming into puberty. They were coming into adolescence when the divorce period started. And so, excuse me, we went through a particularly tough time while they were in adolescence. But I made the decision when they got to be about 18 and they were beginning to stretch out and get on their own, that I wanted to shift my attitude toward them away from being a parent in a structured situation to becoming more their friend. Now, parents are not required to be children's friends when they are young. In fact, that's the last thing in the world you need to do. You're not in the business of being friends to your kids. You need to be an authority figure because you need them to listen to you in order to prevent really bad things from happening in their lives. But there's a certain point at which you have to say, okay, now our relationship needs to shift. And that was one of the most exciting and fulfilling parts of our mutual life between the four of us, my son, two daughters, and myself. And that was, we became interested in doing things together. And all of them are very, very interested in house music. And we like to go dancing together. We've done that before many times. And I was transitioning into away from my heterosexual life into the life of a gay man. And so we would go to gay bars and go dancing together. Now, that's not normally the way, that's probably not the answer that you were looking for, but we became friends. And that for me has been one of the most joyful parts of my dad experience.
That is a perfect answer. I don't think there's anything wrong. I think that's an amazing answer. And I think that's really neat, a different way to look at it and a way to build that relationship. Yep. I think it is important, like you said, that maybe obviously when they're young, you don't want to be their friend, but as you get older, you want to open up to them a little bit more and share things that you can do together. Right. I think it's amazing and something that hopefully I can do with my kids someday, you know, open up and go out and do things or go to concerts or whatever it may be, being able to share those moments. So kind of on the flip side of what we just talked about, have you ever encountered a time where you felt you could have handled the parenting situation a little bit better, or maybe there was something out there that didn't work out the way you saw it working out, and maybe you learned at the end of it that could have been handled a different way, or learned something from that situation that maybe you could share with our listeners, so maybe that if they encounter a situation similar, they could use that little tidbit of information?
Yeah, I think I learned through the divorce. As a religious person, you know, and particularly a pastor, yourself on a pedestal and people look up to you. I think one of the things that I learned through that period of time is that I have, when I learn to operate through grace instead of a directive or anger, I think I learned that, and I probably could not have learned that had I not experienced the brokenness of a broken marriage. And because I really had strong expectations of being a successful, well-known, and popular pastor, and that got all taken away. And so I said, what am I doing here in life? What contribution can I make? And so I had to learn. That, and I learned that controlling people, though it is appealing to you in a certain way, is really not a way to win their affection and love.
No, absolutely. That's a great bit of information and a way to learn and move from an experience that may not have been what you were expecting to experience. Right. So really, really great. So we have a reoccurring segment here on the Dad Experience. It's things we can't wait to see through our children's eyes, or maybe you have seen and got to re-experience through your children's eyes again. Is there that moment out there that maybe you got to relive as a parent that you were excited about, that you could see your kids experience? You know, it could be anything from an activity to travel to going away to college. It could be any of those things, but is there a moment that you just were really excited to experience again through your children's eyes?
You know, they're pretty old. I mean, excuse me, they're fairly old. They've gone through a lot of those kind of experiences. I just wish for my son and daughter-in-law to have a child. I want them to have children because that's been so wonderful for me and for their mother. To have had that experience in their life has been I want them all to have it. Now, my middle daughter has had one daughter, and my oldest daughter has a brand new daughter. She's less than a year old, and I want them to have that. I want my son and daughter-in-law to have that experience.
Yeah. Yeah, that is quite the experience. What is something that you really enjoy about being a grandparent? That's something I don't think I've ever asked a guest yet. What is something that you maybe didn't expect as a grandparent that you love about being a grandparent? Or maybe there is something that you were expecting and you just really get a joy out of it.
I want to take my grandchildren through, I got started with that with my oldest granddaughter. I want to introduce them to J.R.R. Tolkien's The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings. I just think I read that to my children. I read all of the Tolkien books to my children when they were coming up. And I want my grandchildren to experience that and teach them the world of hobbits and the land of Mordor and the perfect evil against imperfect good. Tolkien's work is amazing, and I like that very much.
That is a neat tradition to hopefully that you can continue on and have that time with the grandchildren. So, you know, we've talked a lot about your book, talked about being a parent. Now's your chance. How can folks find you, the book, all those great things? I don't know if you mentioned a little bit about your website. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about that. If there's any social media, all that good stuff. Tell us a little bit about more where they can find Dan Roberts.
If you're interested if you listen to public radio, happen to be one in the city where one of the 150 towns where, or cities, stations that carry A Moment in Time, you can go and listen to it on public radio. If you do not have that, because obviously there are more areas of the country that do not have it, you can go to our website, amomentintime.com, just one straight word, amomentintime.com, and you can experience all of the radio programs are come from transcripts, and they are uploaded to the website. I'll tell you a little story. We're on the Bakersfield, Fresno, California public radio station, and one of the executives at Familius.com, which is my publisher, listened to A Moment in Time for about 6 months, and they said, there's a book in there. And so he sent me an email, and that's how this book came. It actually grew up out of A Moment in Time. So you can go to amomentintime.com and subscribe, and you get the daily transcripts from the radio program every day, 7 days a week. And or you can go to the radio program. Now, the way the book is structured, it's called A Moment, One American, it says, Master American History in 1 Minute a Day. It's available at indiebound.com. net. It's available at Amazon.com. It's priced beautifully, and it's a terrific book. It's small. You can carry it around in your briefcase or in your book bag, and pull it out and read something and move on and close it and go on to the next. All of them are distinct. In other words, what I mean by that is that they do not have to, you don't have to read the page one, page 10 doesn't depend on page 9. They stand alone.
Right.
They stand alone. And many of those actually started off as a transcript from the radio program.
Nice.
But the transcript, along with resources, like a bibliography at the end of the transcript, I have to take it down shorter for the radio program, because the radio program's only 90 seconds of content. And then I had to take it down even shorter to be able to get into one for the book for 150 to 250 words. Momentintime.com and Master American History in 1 minute a day, available wherever books are sold, and particularly online at Amazon.com.
Yeah, and we'll post all that in our show notes so folks can find a direct link to that as well on our show notes for this episode. So, you know, people can go directly to that website and subscribe and find out more about the book. So, well, Dan, it's been a pleasure having you on. Thanks so much for joining us today.
You bet.
And don't forget, we are a part of the Parents On Demand Network. Stick around for another snippet of another great parenting podcast. If you have a show idea, email us, experienceanddad@gmail.com. Or if you have a question for a guest, you know, hit us up and we will reach out and try and get those answers and respond to those answers on the next episode. And follow us on Instagram, Facebook, wherever you we're on most social media platforms. So just search The Dad Experience and you'll find us. So stick around next time for another exciting episode of The Dad Experience.
This podcast is a proud member of Parents on Demand, a network of high-quality shows for families just like yours. Download our free network app on Apple and Android and listen to your favorite episodes on the go.